today on Real Life Radio.
The only thing that would keep you from getting to heaven is yourself. Because Jesus did it all. He doesn't want you to be involved in religion. That's man's attempt to find God. He wants you to be involved in a relationship with him that's responding to his overture of love.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack begins a new series called The Book of Revelation with a message called The Book Among Books. There's no other book in the Bible that draws us in with such a gracious promise of blessings. But there's also no other book that comes with a severe warning should anyone add or take away from its message. In Genesis, we have the beginning of it all. In Revelation, we have the end goal of it all. You see, every prophecy and promise, every purpose and covenant with God finds its fulfillments within the page of Revelation. It's a message of very high importance to God. But sadly, a lot of people are frightened by the book of Revelation, including pastors. And what scares them off? It's the book of Revelation's accuracy in predicting future events. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the awesome thing about God is that we are important to him, and he wants us to get involved in preparing for his return, to wake up each morning and make Christ our priority, to acknowledge our great need for him, and to walk with him daily. And now from his message called The Book Among Books, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You know what? Don't raise your hand, but are there any evolutionists in here? You know what? Let me give you a tip. You want to make $1 million? Get your pen out. I'm serious. If you don't, maybe I'll do this. Forget about Christianity. Forget about religion. Aberrant human sexuality on the evolutionary plane. Just think evolution alone destroys the species. Forget God right now. Just forget that God is. If a woman cohabitates with a woman, it breeds death and no propagation of the race. If evolution were true, then every evolutionist would be out there writing against the destruction of the race. Are you with me? Do you understand that? Does anybody get that? It destroys. So a scientist who doesn't even care about God would say, well, look, when you plug A into A, it blows itself up. If you plug A into B, there's life. Anybody can figure that out. The Bible says just before Christ returns, there will be an increase in aberrant human sexuality. And now we have TV programs and we've got all this stuff so that you'll just take it and that you'll just say, well, that's just the way that it is. And just know this, Jesus said, the Bible warned that these days were coming. It's just a sign of his coming. It's going to increase. What did Jesus say? He says, when I come back, it's going to be just like the days of, yeah, he didn't say Milwaukee and Boston. He says, he said Sodom and Gomorrah. Now listen, if this morning that offends you, you know what? May it do so to the point where you say, well, wait a minute, if that's, yeah, I'm kind of putting together the evolutionary contradiction, that makes a lot of sense. But what about God? You know what? Listen, there is none of us in this room that's a bigger sinner than the other. Okay, maybe that's your sin, but maybe robbing banks is this guy's other sin, or telling a lie is someone else next to you. Listen, to God, sin is sin. And Jesus died on the cross for all of us, every one of us, from our little white lie to our homosexual act or to our murder or to our bank robbery or whatever it might be. Do you understand that? That's what the Bible teaches. God loves to forgive sin, all sin. But Jesus said before the end, there'll be general lawlessness, racial divisions, aberrant sexuality, and here's another one. There'll be a refusal to recognize history. Man will not learn. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. That's right, there's nothing new. The more we learn history, if there's any teenagers in here, I know you don't want to learn about history, but I tell you, you want to have a smart future? Learn history. It's how, when we study history, we learn not to make certain mistakes. But you and I live in a culture that's redefining history. Any of you are high schoolers in the LA County School District, open up your books. And I don't know how it is now, but in several years ago, there was a great debate because before the history books were approved, there was more chapter and sentence on Marilyn Monroe than there was on George Washington. Redefining history. How do you redefine history? Listen, parents, listen. You want to redefine history? Teach your child nothing about history. And they'll redefine it. They'll take words and they'll put different meanings onto words. You say, I don't believe it. Oh, yeah? How many people in the world today literally believe? Because in Europe, it's a big problem. Literally believe that there was ever a Holocaust. There are people who literally believe it never happened. That it's propaganda. It's true. Social events. Another thing. Listen, we know that Jesus is coming back, indicated by natural events on a grand scale. There's always, natural events, natural disasters. There's always been those. But people, I'm going to give you just a few notes that's really cool. For one thing, in Matthew chapter 24, listen to what Jesus said. He said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines. By the way, the famine, the word here indicates in Greek, political famines. People will starve to death because of the ruling and the reigning of a few. Interesting. Pestilence, incurable diseases. Earthquakes in various places. Jesus says these are the beginning of sorrows. He's speaking, no doubt, about the culmination of the tribulation period, yes. But keep this in mind. Of all things, did you know the earth has been experiencing more volcanoes? Yes, most of them are underwater in the oceans. But more volcanoes even above the terrain or above the waters. There have been an increase in volcanoes. You say, well, Pastor, I haven't seen a volcano. I know you haven't, but there's some parts in the world that are dealing with volcanoes right now, and they're increasing. That may not mean anything to you, but it's kind of cool. How about this, closer to home? Jesus says there's going to be earthquakes. The word that he uses implies that there's going to be greater earthquakes with greater intensity. You can go to Caltech online, look at the data that they have right there. Jesus says, before I come back, there's going to be killer quakes. What does the science tell us? Jesus meant what he was saying. What about weather? Global warming and the increase of deserts. Did you know that? I didn't realize that. Deserts are growing. Deserts are growing. The weather's changing. Jesus said in another place that the world will be like that of a tossing sea, raging, foaming up its wrath. Superstorms, the greatest storms in frequency in Category 5, are on the increase, says the Weather Channel online. The large storms are increasing in frequency, and it's up over 500% over the last 10 years. Jesus says there'd be days like this before he comes back. He said, Pastor, you're scaring me to death. I don't want to come back. Listen, don't be like that. I'm glad I'm a Christian when I read this stuff. See, we want to know the future, but then we don't want to know. We're little stinkers. We want to know the future if we can control it. Some people want to know the future. They go seek out horoscopes, which are satanic, according to God, Deuteronomy chapter 18 and chapter 13. Oh, let's see what my day's going to be like. You know what? Wouldn't it be absolutely hilarious if somebody snuck in something? Because, you know, you open that thing up and, oh, you're going to meet an interesting person today. That's brilliant. Oh, and this and in that. And it's all like up, up. And it's like, okay, if it's at all negative, it's like, watch out, you know, who you speak to today. Wouldn't it be bizarre if somebody opened their horoscope and instead of their Bible, you know, they open the horoscope and they read there and it says something like, you're going to have a rotten day. Your car's going to blow up. You're going to slip on the soap in the shower and all your friends are going to turn on you. You know what? I've almost had days like that. God prepares me in the Bible. Jesus himself says, you know what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You will have difficulty in the world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And we go, amen. That's awesome. Give me the truth. The truth is Christ sits on the throne. He's coming to reign upon this earth. In the meantime, the rapture could happen at any time. The second coming will come after the seven-year tribulation period. All these things we're going to study in great detail. The truth of the matter is, though, that he's also showing us that there's an indication as we move from natural events to satanic events. Worldwide, especially in Europe, a rise of Satanism and the old ancient occultic practices. A fascination with evil, death, decay, the macabre, strange, weird things. Obsession with hopelessness. Again, the Bible warns that in the last days, Satanism will arise. And I don't need to belabor it. You know, if you don't, very quickly, people in these weird cult lifestyles, they get a computer game, join a club, and they not only play that computer personality while they're on computer or online, but now they take it into their workday life. And they have new names. They email each other a certain codes regarding to this cultic group that they're in. More elaborate than Dungeons and Dragons, things that are worse than all that, stranger than all that, weirdness. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? It's innocent. You know what's weird about that? It would be fantastic if us Christians gave such dedication to walking with Jesus like that. How many times do you email people an uplifting thing or a verse? Or how many times do you say, I'm going to walk today like Joshua? I'm going to be like Joshua today. I'm going to be like Peter today, or I'm going to be like Paul today, or I'm going to be like whoever of the Bible. And yet there are people doing that regarding the occult. Jesus said, the Bible tells us there'll be a rise in Satanism. Also this, by the indicated things of religious events. What do I mean by that? The cults, not a cult, the cults. It's amazing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 5, watch out concerning the last days. Be careful that nobody deceives you, for many will come in my name. The word is, they're not going to come and say, I'm Jesus, per se. The word in the Greek means they'll come in my authority, meaning they're going to offer you another way to heaven. That's not a way at all. Are we not living in those days? I mean, open the phone book. Pick a place. And they all got a different message on who is God, how to get to heaven, is there a heaven? You don't have to worry about that, church. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation. And Jesus told us in Matthew's gospel and in other places, I'm telling you, before it comes to pass, he said in John's gospel, I'm warning you now that when it happens, you'll know that I'm he. Religious events. Listen, God doesn't want you religious. He wants you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, listen, we go to our final point here. What does his return mean to you and I? Hey, he's coming again. And Jesus says that the place that I've gone to, I'm preparing, I will come and get you. I'm going to pick you up. Well, I want to ask you, consider this. Either he's going to come for us while we're living, according to the Apostle Paul, if we're alive at the time and the rapture takes place, the Bible says we'll be taken off from this earth and we'll meet the Lord in the air. It's called the rapture. It's not the second coming. It's the rapture. Or, those of us who are Christians, we could meet the Lord today at the intersection or on the freeway. We could choke on our lunch today and meet the Lord. Are you ready? Think about it. Are you ready? Well, I'll decide that when I get there. Too late. Bible says you can't do that. Well, you know what? I'll wait until after the rapture. Too late. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, for those who had the chance to receive the gospel and then refused it, that they'll not have a second chance after that period of time, for God will send them strong delusion so that they will believe a satanic lie. Amazing. Are you ready? We want to push it off. Especially if you're a young person today. You feel like you're going to live forever. I understand that. That's why, by the way, I told you before, talk to a general or a colonel in the Army or Marines. You send young kids to war, preferably 18, 19, 20. You want to know why? They're full of themselves. And that's what boot camp is all about. To break you down, to remold you, to cause you to be full of yourself. You want to know why? You ever see the general running out to battle first, out in front? That guy's old and smart, dude. He'll train you and turn you loose. Why? Because they know something that you haven't woken up to. When you're young and crazy, you think you're going to conquer the world. Come on, bring it on. I'll take him on. Come on. Hey, that's the guy. Send him up to the front lines. It's when you're older, you understand that life is so fragile. When you're young, you don't think it's going to happen to you, right? What do you care about statistics? These amount of people get AIDS in premarital sex. That doesn't apply to you. You are who you are. You're a legend in your own mind, man. It never happened to me. Yeah, let's go to the hospital and meet people who said it never happened to me. You may be here this morning and say, well, I don't need Jesus. I'll wait later. How do you know? Well, I'm going to live forever, man. You don't know that. He's coming back. How does that make you feel? How does that make you think? He's coming back. Are you ready? Listen, I want you to really think right now. We'll be all done. I want you to really think. Why is it right now that there are people sitting around you who, when I say or when we read, I'm coming quickly, or behold, I'm going to return, or I say Jesus is coming again, they'll say things like, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. God, may it be today. You know what they're doing? They first of all know that they can't save themselves. They didn't save themselves. But what they did do, finding out that they were a sinner, they came to Christ and asked him to forgive them of their sins. And they asked him to write their name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. They believe that he died on the cross, rose again from the dead, and that he's coming back. That's what they believe. They're not holier than thou. So don't think that they're arrogant when they say, yes, Lord, come today. We're all sinners, and we get saved by the grace of God, yes. But that person that says, yes, oh, Lord, come today, he or she's excited about that because the account has been settled. Are you with me? Jesus died on the cross, and he said, it is full, it is finished. In the Greek, it's totelestai. It's an accounting term. How about this? Allow me this. Totelestai. I'm on the cross. I have paid humanity's debt to God in his righteousness, the innocent for the guilty. And the Bible says he relieved or released his spirit and died. He said, it is finished. And Jesus, the Bible says, yielded his spirit. He dismissed his spirit. He died at his own command. I'm now finished. I'm dying now. And he died 3 days later to be risen from the dead. And a Christian says, yes, Lord. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come today, Lord. In the great rapture of the church, and we're all united together. Well, listen, if you're not excited about that, ask yourself why right now. Why is it? Why are you not excited? What's wrong? Are you not sure? The Bible says, Jesus put it this way, follow this logic. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Here's a little preface to it. If you ask a little Sunday school kiddo over there, ask him, where does Jesus live? Where would he point? In their heart. Most kids point in their heart. Right here, right there. He's right there. Some kids will point up. It's kind of cute. When they're real young, they'll point to their heart. As they get a little older, junior high school, they start pointing up. And you know that's true. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphaned or comfortless. I will come to you. He spoke this to his disciples before he left. He said, you seek after me and a time will come when you will not be able to find me, but don't be troubled. I will not leave you orphaned or comfortless. I will come to you. For I will send to you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom you do not know right now, but you will know later. He's with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Did you hear that carefully? Where is Jesus? Well, yeah, he's in heaven, seated on the throne next to his Father. But it's also correct by the person of the Holy Spirit that Jesus resides in our heart. He said, I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. I will send the Holy Spirit. He will abide with you forever. So this morning, those of you who have the Holy Spirit in your life, check this out. You may not be a theologian. You don't have to be. Guess what, though? You know that if Jesus comes today, you're going to go see him. You know that if you choke on a banana today, you're going to go see Jesus. It's covered. You have the assurance of eternal life. Jesus said these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. You're to know it. If you don't have that assurance this morning, then you're a legalistic person, perhaps. You're thinking, well, if I'm good enough, then God will accept me. Again, he won't accept you based upon your efforts. Whatever you fill in, or you say something like this, I hope I make it in, you hope, you must know. And just think this morning, if we could just be naked right now in our chest, a little area in the window where we could peer into one another and see if there's a light burning or not, light indicating the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine we could walk and see, you walk, we cover everything up. We got deodorant on and cologne on and clothes on. Can you imagine if there's a little God window and you could look inside, and if it was dark, there's no light in there. And you're scared in this world. And you try to make sure that people don't know that you're scared, but you're scared. You're afraid of what the doctor might say. You're afraid of what might happen. You're scared. Or there's a little window and there's a light emanating out. There's a candle, as it were, burning. And it's the Lord. From that vantage point, what will be seen? It's amazing to know that at this very second, God knows the destination of each and every one of us. And listen, it's either heaven or hell, says the Bible. There's no purgatory, it's not in the Bible. There's no in-between. There's no reincarnation. There's no limbo land. It's heaven or not. And the only thing that would keep you from getting to heaven is yourself. Because Jesus did it all. He doesn't want you to be involved in religion. That's man's attempt to find God. He wants you to be involved in a relationship with him that's responding to his overture of love. We're going to give opportunity right now for some of you perhaps to respond to his overture of love. Some of the things that were said this morning may be hard, may be direct. No one's been talking to you. I've not been talking to anybody. Maybe the Spirit of God put his finger on your heart. You say, man, I don't like that. And then as this message has gone on, maybe the Holy Spirit's been speaking to your mind. You say, well, you know what? You need to fix that. Maybe God is saying this morning, I'm not going to tolerate any longer. I love you so much. I'm not going to tolerate your drunkenness anymore, God is saying to your heart. I will not tolerate any longer, God might say, your adultery anymore. Or you're sleeping around. Or you're lying. Or you're living your perfectly padded, glorious little self-contained life without me. Jesus might be saying this morning, I don't want you to live without me anymore. The end is coming, and I want you to know me, and I want you to be in heaven with me forever. It's your choice.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The Book Among Books. Thanks for being with us today. The Book Among Books is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events. The Book of Revelation occupies a central place in the hearts and minds of every true believer, and will continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, how would you like to kick off the new year with an unforgettable journey? Well, January is right around the corner, and here's what we think is a really good idea. The 1-Year Bible. It's available for you today. Now, this unique design is really user-friendly because of the arrangement of Scripture. Brings a fresh approach to each day's reading. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be reading a portion of the Old Testament, the New Testament, a Psalm, and a Proverb, and it's all designed to bring you through the Bible in 1 year. The 1-Year Bible also includes 2- and 3-year reading plans. The 1-Year Bible, it's ideal for your personal devotions, or you can bring the whole family in if you'd like. The New King James Version of the 1-Year Bible is available for purchase for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.